Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the 200th episode of the Sofa King podcast.
Yay.
Never thought we would still be here doing this.
No.
This long. I'm tired of you guys and I hate you.
I did, but I know the future, man.
That's true.
I never thought I'd be talking this accent, but it slowly slipped into it, man. Here it comes.
Somebody's going to hate that.
Yeah, they're right away. To you. Is this your first episode? I don't actually have that accent. I just drive you fucking crazy with it. Yeah, I will do it again, though. It won't be
Dale Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt, you know, every once in a while makes an appearance here.
Mm-hmm. That is, I think this is the first picture of us. Probably as a podcast, it might be.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I believe
it is.
Yeah,
we have a bottle of, what is that?
Johnny Walker Black.
Johnny Walker Black with a little hangy...
like an ornament thing.
Ornament.
Digital Creations. Pictures. I think that's our first sponsor. It might have been Red Ridge Beard Co. It's a close call. So I went with, I think this is one of our oldest whiskeys in here too.
I think that might have been our first whiskey.
Yeah, it might be. And the bottle's still here. That was from Digital.
So this is our 200th episode, which, I mean, man, I remember when we first started, it was like, you know, 10 episodes, 20 episodes seems like a lot. You know, we got to 25, we got to 100, and it was just, you know, now it's
And it
like,
seems like 100 was like a month ago.
Yeah. It seemed like it took forever
to get to
100, and then 200 just
It's like
came.
It's just fucking flown by.
So you can imagine, you know, other shows with 500, 800 episodes or more, like, it, you know, the work and the dedication that goes into it, it's a lot, you know. I mean, you know, if you're like us, we work, we, you know, have kids. Dave has a dog. We have
five dogs.
Five dogs. Yep.
How many do you have?
How you have?
We have four dogs.
Oh, whoa, I was four. Way off.
Don't tell her.
No,
how
I said
many dogs
five
she
dogs
has.
Is a shooting range. Yeah, that's probably what fucked me up.
You know, yeah, we have lives, and you know, this podcast sometimes interrupts our life, and you know, I want to thank our family.
Absolutely.
For putting up with our shit.
Our absentee Sundays for the past, you know, couple of years.
Yeah. Sundays and sometimes during the week when we have to get episodes out. And
I missed a few family events, soccer games. Yeah.
Kids softball games, soccer games. Yeah. Family stuff that's going on. Today actually was a graduation party for somebody, you know, like, yeah, granted, you know, we like doing this, but we do miss out on something.
I don't think we ever missed a show, right? We never missed a release date.
Never missed. It's been a long journey and a fun journey. And we have how many bottles of whiskey do we have? Over 100 bottles of whiskey.
We have a lot.
100 bottles of alcohol. In our studio, we have a great studio.
You guys want to have a toast?
Yeah, I think we should. And then we'll get into the topic. And then we want to thank, towards the end of the show, we're bringing back some oldies but goodies. We're going to do news or bullshit.
At the very end.
Yeah. And then we're going to thank some patrons, our top patrons, the people who, and some other people who are contributors who have been contributing in other ways besides money. I mean, there's a lot of people. Money isn't what makes this podcast what it is, but it obviously helps. We try and thank you to
everyone who's helped us too. Thank you to Alan Urquhart. Yeah. Thank you to James,
Brian Henderson.
Yeah, thank you to all of our sponsors, to all of the guests that have ever come on and helped us with stuff.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure we're missing
except
someone.
For that one.
Who was it?
We'll just leave it at that. No, you know.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Who is it?
They all go, it was me.
Exactly. That's the whole point. So a toast. I'm toasting with the Hellier's Road 12-year from Tasmania that Erica Fisher brought us as she came back from Australia.
I have the Tomatopoleo.
You still have the Tomatin 12-year.
That was from Brand Van Tassel to Brad Taylor right Tassel, there. And I have the Digital Creations Black Label.
Right. Toast to another 200, guys. All right, now that's out of the way. This will be my last show.
No one ask me about that, please. Message Brad directly.
Yes.
No, everybody wants me to leave. That's the good part.
No, they don't. No,
nobody even say anything about it.
Our entire topic today wouldn't be possible without the unique brain of Brad Taylor.
I stumbled upon the whole conspiracy theory.
I looked it up. You know when it was? July 1st, 2016 is when the first mention of Gary Coleman.
Well, you know, like when we started the show, I wasn't really into conspiracy theories. I didn't have, you know, now we look into them, we talk about them. So you run across things and, you know, you start seeing connections and patterns and it makes you think, hey, something's going on.
The size four shoe fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it fits. Yeah. The Cinderella shoe.
And again, if you're new to listening, I was going to apologize that you have to listen to us thanking people, but go fuck yourself because we're thanking people. But I do want to give a special shout out to El Yucateco, who's been with us from like almost the beginning, like when they had no reason to sponsor us, they had no reason to have faith in us. We had a very small audience at the time and they just took a chance on us and liked what they heard.
I think we had 7 episodes and 300 like listens a month or something silly, like some really low number. And literally Facebook Messenger said, I don't want money. I just want you to give me hot sauce because I like it and I'll give it to our fans and we'll shout you out.
Right.
And they have seriously been with us since like... Yeah. It was an early episode. It was
Turned into like, hey, let's give these guys some shit. It's pretty much a partnership now.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fusion of the brand is like one. It's kind of crazy.
We really appreciate it and it's delicious. And it's because of Brent's like fetish-like passion for eating El Yucateco that he had well before we started the podcast.
Yeah. He had it was like a dildo-shaped pump on the end that shot there the hot sauce into his mouth.
There it is. I wondered how long it would take for our sponsor shout out to get offensive.
Yeah.
Sarah.
That's what we do.
Sarah, Amy, thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, but honestly though, thank you. Thank you to them. And to other podcasts, I know we have other people who do podcasts that listen to us. You can go from literally a couple of your friends listening to a good size audience, hundreds of thousands of downloads, millions of downloads over the course, you can get there. And all it takes is just asking people, being creative and doing it. So, and that's what we've done. And we're happy, honestly happy that other people like it or else we wouldn't be doing this shit.
Right.
Honestly. I mean, I wouldn't sit down here in a basement with two fucking ugly motherfuckers. Good looking men. To sit here and just waste our time, you know? So we honestly do this for our fans, like the people who listen now. That's why we ask you guys for topic suggestions. Right. We don't care what we want to talk about. A lot of the times you guys are giving us those topics. So, thank you for that involvement. Thank you for posting pictures of yourself, making yourself look stupid on social media. just thank you. So,
and the final thanks, we want to make sure that we thank some of our like top dollar patrons who go to Patreon and give us money every month because it's really awesome. The money is still sort of being pooled. We're upgrading the studio a lot, getting better equipment. We have designs to get some video equipment and start doing some video stuff, but it's a slow process, but we're in the market. So again,
well, there's three of us and we need more people.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's rough. So
yeah, and fans offer to help. Thank you to everyone that offers, but it's hard logistically because you're in Texas or Australia.
So thanks to Yanuri Dietrich, Brett Gonzalez, Tyler Bajas, Alex Ped, Tyler Waters, even though it's Wouters, Josh Haney, Nick Hawson, that's a rough one, Avika Radosoljevic.
Jeanette Rickard is hiding under Nick Hossen, so just it's not there, but thank you.
Okay. Jason Russell, Andrew Sanders, Steve Murray, Shauna Fowler, Jessica Fennell.
Fennell.
And we'll shout out a couple of more. We don't want to bog people down with too many shout outs, but thank you so much for what you're giving us. It really makes a difference. It really inspires us, and it's going to help us make the show even better as time goes on. So those are our pre-show thanks and loves. We'll thank a few more at the end in a sincere way. We always do our bizarre and or funny patron shout outs in various ways, many ways of which have confused people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people
Someone even got mad
and even when we've shouted them out, they're like, I don't understand what you were saying about me. And we're,
I never worked at the circus. No shit.
No shit, dumbass.
Yeah.
So
I don't glue feathers to pigs.
Yeah. I didn't want to do the Pizzagate topic.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you all very much. And we debated long and hard about what we should do for our 200th topic. And then like a bolt of black lightning, tiny, tiny black lightning, it struck us that there was only one option. And it was the life and times of Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Sad.
So I was sad though.
It is fucking sad. So we're going to start with the and actually, believe it or not, like leave it to us to uncover a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But there is a conspiracy theory that's pretty fucked up involving Gary Coleman, and we'll get to that. And there's sort of two stories of what happened, and we've done this with other conspiracy theory episodes. We'll sort of start by doing the bulk of the show will be the official story that is told of Gary Coleman, and then at the end we'll shift into some of the conspiracies of Gary Coleman once we've kind of gone through the whole rigmarole. So Gary Coleman, and I personally, I don't know, were you guys too young to have like been on the Different Strokes?
Yeah, man, I watched that happening when I was little for sure. Yeah.
No,
And I watched five episodes last night. I watched season one, episodes 1 through 5. And I have to say, as evil and conniving as he is fucking adorable in that fucking show. He is hilarious. He's fucking talented as shit. I was trying to think, what age was he on Different Strokes? Because he said he was 8. On the show.
He was 9.
And my son is 8. And my son is bright. And I was trying to figure
out. Actually, I take that back. I think he might have been older. He got discovered. We'll get into it. He got discovered when he was 9 by like big time people. He might have been 10 or 11 when Different
He has some medical conditions. If you don't know, if you're a youngster, you don't even know who Gary Coleman is possibly, but he's a child actor from the 70s, 80s.
And here's the thing. Like if you look at like
Murderer.
The comic greats of that era, right? And again, some of you might have no idea who these people really are, but George Burns, I just drew a blank on her name, Carol Burnett, like people who were like massive in comedy, Johnny Carson, when he was like 9, 10, 11 years old, and Gary Coleman was, all of them were like on the record saying, this kid has some of the best comic timing, one of the best comic attitudes I've ever seen in anyone. And to see it coming from a 10-year-old is just mind blowing.
And I was watching it objectively saying like, okay, there was no camera cut. That was one shot. That's right. One scene. You know, right. I was kind of critiquing it. And I was like, damn, He nails those lines, his timing, his delivery,
right?
Just everything. I was trying to picture my son at the same age trying to pull that off. It's just not happening. He's not pulling that off.
Right.
And I mean, my kid's funny, but like that's a special kind of like, you know, acting genius. And he knew from a young age that he wanted to be an actor.
Yeah. He just
lost it when in his adulthood.
When I was a kid, I fucking loved Different Strokes. I mean, especially coming
Why is there a fucking apostrophe in Different Strokes? What am I missing there? It's broken weird. Like
Different Strokes is
different.
Yeah, yes. But it's like D-I-F-F.
It's because they're black.
Yeah, different.
Why is that?
It's different.
It's the cadence of how you're supposed to say it?
Do I have to explain the tier system again?
No, I know the tier system. I understand.
The black-white tier system?
Yeah, but why
you're is it? You're of a tier that can't understand.
Yeah.
But what was
just
different?
Just let it go.
I'm curious. I want to know, though.
You want to know what's different about
let
the different?
Let it wash over you like warm water.
I don't think you know. I think that's why. Why it's, the different was broken like that in the title of Different Strokes.
It's different.
Just to make you pause and say it that way?
Right. Because they're different. Black.
Okay. That's all I was going for.
Right.
You guys are going to get all caste system on
it's
me.
It's Different Strokes. That's right. Why.
Brad's just saying the word and looking at me with a serious fucking face.
You don't get it. You don't get it.
I get it. But
for me, like, as straight up, like, as a fucking mulatto kid, right? As a kid that was half black and half white, and like, don't really fit in with black culture, don't really fit in with white culture. And like, this show, like, to me and my brother, there was like nothing like it.
Right.
Like, there, like, cause I think, the show would really explore like racial tension between black and white and all this stuff.
Episode one through five, racially charged.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is a constant underlining.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the time.
And like, it really struck a chord with us because we lived with our white mom in a white neighborhood. And then, you know, we'd see our black dad on the weekends who lived in black neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And it was like this struggle to figure out where you fit in. And like, it really struck a chord with us.
There's a conspiracy on your half black and half white. How'd you get a orange?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Yeah.
Malcolm X was orange.
Was he?
No.
Fucking yeah, orange. He was red. Orange. They called his nickname in prison orange? Was red.
You can't tell because all the pictures are black and white.
Yeah, he had red hair.
Did he really?
Yeah. Why his nickname was red.
Sinbad.
I didn't know his nickname was red. I think you're making stuff up now because I'm so white I'll fall
red
for
October.
That's why they called him Red October.
They called him Red October.
That was his finishing move.
Yeah. The Red October.
It's the Red October!
He only did it in October.
From the top rope, Malcolm X!
Yeah,
now you could just make shit up after the famous racial rally where the Black Panthers attended in 1969.
He was in. He was in the Wrestling Federation. The Generation X. Mm-hmm. That's his name.
He was
wore a mask.
That's where. Yeah, that's where Generation X got their name.
He was D-Generation X. Though.
That's right. It was D-Generation X.
Yeah.
X-Pac.
Yep.
Give it a little of this.
Suck it.
So white over here. I don't know. I fall out.
That's really white. That's WWF.
Yeah, that's
you should really be picking up on that one.
I think it's a lower tier of whiteness.
Maybe it's like white trash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And you guys always have some little camaraderie over there, and I get left out. I'm just uncomfortably quiet. I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about at all.
That's because
I really don't know.
That's because I believe.
It's the tier system.
Well, I think
Brad was poor as fuck.
Brad is slightly blacker than I am. I think.
Yeah, on the top half though. Hair on the bottom half, you're hung like an orange, whatever that means.
Hung like an orange.
Like a zinger.
Zinger.
Yeah.
Leave my Dangerfields out of it. So Gary Coleman, child actor, like the prototypical child actor, like when you hear about a child actor who like has it all and then like crashes and burns, this show,
every child actor pretty much,
this show is where it comes from, because it wasn't to be honest, Gary Coleman probably got the best hand out of the three child actors that were in.
I don't know, he got fucked by his parents, by his make-believe parents, though. And fucking,
you know, because generally child actors just have problems with a lost childhood and dealing with fame.
Right.
His has to do with like medical issues and dialysis.
Well, and his, and his
misappropriation of funds and handling, and like
his family stole all of his shit.
Yeah.
Like crazy shit.
Yeah, right before we started recording, Brad was talking and he was all, this is actually like, I just thought about it and it's making me sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Like,
it's
I was waiting for like this really funny lark of a tale, and like mid research when I was horrible. Like, you know, halfway through the research, I was just like, fuck.
I'm glad.
Bleak.
Like, yeah, man. My life could get really, really shitty, and I'm glad about it that it's not as bad as Gary Coleman's
was.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Like, I just, it was after I watched the Howard Stern interview, like Brent watched it.
Yeah.
Man, I was just watching it and I'm like, this guy. Never grew up.
Man, he was scared of Howard Stern, wasn't he? He really thought Howard Stern was going to be a dick.
He's going to fuck with him.
Yeah. Did you watch that interview? No.
Everybody fucks with this guy.
He went in there, like they were talking about before he came in the room, and they're like, yeah, man, he wants to know that the door's not locked so he can leave if he needs to. He was really afraid they were just going to get down on him and ask him. Like,
but the other thing is, though, did you watch any of the interviews that he did on any other shows? They fucking picked on him.
Right.
They did. Like, they picked on him all the time.
He
like, he's
the
just
fuck out on that, on that one panel show. And
he told the girl
out.
To go fuck herself.
Yeah, he's like, he's a fuck you, go fuck yourself.
Well, they're asking,
I don't
him,
know you. I don't like you.
Do you beat your wife and shit? You know, like,
right.
That chick was a bitch. That could just be his crazy ass wife, which it probably was saying that.
Yeah.
The dude's 4'8". His wife's a full size fucking woman. Yeah. Like, she, you know,
like
what
5'2".
Yeah. Yeah. So
solid. I think she's 5'6" or something like that. Yeah.
He was born February 1968 in Illinois. Illinois, Zion, Illinois, to, you know, let's start this shitty dice.
I'm going to remember, like, his birthday forever, though. My birthday is February 6th. His the 8th from now on branded in my brain now that I know this.
All right.
And I missed it. I can't believe we fucking missed it.
And from again, now just on,
we,
like,
declared a Sofa King holiday.
That's right. Nice. Yeah. So out of the gate, the fucking, like, dice are against him. Like, it's just like, who is he born to? A fucking homeless woman who gave him up to it for adoption. Yeah. Like, right
and
away.
And then people ask him, like, have you ever looked for your real parents? And he's like, no. Like, right. She's a fucking homeless woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how am I going to find her? Yeah.
She's some woman with pink curlers in her hair. And
no, that one of his security guards, when he was doing different strokes, said he found his mom, and it was like some fucking, like, homeless lady with pink curlers in her hair, like, you know, kind of like Joe Dirt. Have you seen Joe Dirt? Haven't you? How they found his parents, you know?
You're my cousin.
Yeah.
So he gets
best
adopted.
Sex scene ever.
He gets adopted by W.G. Coleman, who's a pharmaceutical representative, and his wife, Edmonia Sue Coleman, who's a nurse practitioner. So he gets quite an upgrade, right? I mean, a nurse practitioner makes a decent salary. A pharmaceutical rep makes a decent salary. But at birth, he was diagnosed with multiple health issues.
Forklift operator is what I read.
Forklift operator.
Yeah, it said G. Coleman, forklift operator, and Edmonia Sue, nurse practitioner.
Yeah, he was a pharmaceutical rep.
That was his pimp job. He's lying. He drove the forklift.
I read that in like three different articles. Anyway, he had a kidney defect, which is probably what made him the most famous, which is called nephritis, which he had to be on dialysis for most of his life. He had to have multiple kidney replacements, like,
which is something I learned, though, because I thought his medical condition is what made him appear young. I thought we always joke about Webster disease or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought that that's why his growth was stunted and he had those young features, but it had to do with corticosteroid medications that he took for the condition caused.
Yeah.
That was the side effect, that his growth was stunted and that his young appearance was actually from the medication they gave him.
Crazy. And then Webster, you know, Webster had Webster's disease. Like, they named him Webster. Assholes.
No, I think it was the other way around. I think everyone calls it Webster's disease because of Webster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If not,
I don't even think it's called Webster's disease.
No, that's just what that's what people call it. That's probably what insensitive assholes call it, which is why that's what I call it.
Yeah. Me too.
So at a young age, apparently, and I thought this was crazy. So Gary Coleman gets into the business because at age 5, apparently he wrote a pitch letter to Montgomery Ward saying why he should be a model.
Yeah, he wanted to model
at 5.
Yeah, because his cousins was doing it. Yeah.
One of his cousins was a model.
So
I can do this. If that ugly bitch can do it.
What's like a normal age to be like fully reading and writing?
5.
Because apparently he was like fully reading and writing when he was like 3.
That's
pretty good.
That's insane.
So he was
my baby can read before my baby can read.
So he's like really smart, really charismatic, really funny, like really a gifted kid. Like, you end up seeing like the crazy fucking TMZ photos late in life and you kind of lose sight of this. But like you said, watching Different Strokes, he kind of blows you away at what he's capable of.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, on that Howard Stern interview, he said his mom was an actress of some sort. And we're seeing here a nurse practitioner.
Well, she might have been a practicing actress. Yeah, and wanted to be an actress.
Every waitress. Yeah. It's an actor.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, every parent wants to live vicariously through their kid.
Sure.
Yeah. Vicariously. That's like bicariously.
Well, you can. Yeah. You
curious about what could have happened.
Yeah. Bicariously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two different. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to live bicariously through your kids. That's
bad things are going to happen.
That's bad mojo. Right?
You just pick your nose.
But vicariously.
Yeah. Play in the sandbox just to see what will happen.
So he ends up, when he's young, he ends up doing commercials for McDonald's and Hallmark and just little stuff, a couple of guest spots on some things. And then the TV producer named Norman Lear, who was fucking huge.
Like, conned him into being a actor.
Basically. Because Norman Lear, he did All in the Family, Sanford and Son, One Day at a Time, The Jeffersons, Good Times. Like, he was a massive force.
He's like, I need me a little black kid.
Yeah, how can I exploit this black kid? But he actually, he met him because he was on Good Time. He was on The Jeffersons as a guest spot. He was on Good Times. And I actually remember it because Janet Jackson was on Good Times and she played played the troubled neighbor girl Penny, and she was one. He was one of Penny's friends.
He played, and his name was Gary on Good Times.
It was Gary.
Yeah.
But Norman Lear really dug him and tried to do a reboot of The Little Rascals and cast him in it, but the reboot never got picked up. And then, but that really put him on the map. And then basically after what, even though the show didn't get picked up, what they saw in that pilot, NBC was like, we need to build an entire show around this fucking kid and give him a contract.
That's crazy too. Like, he was voted number one out of 100 greatest child actors.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty...
That's saying something.
Yeah. By VH1.
Yeah, by VH1, yeah.
Yeah. So they end up casting him as Arnold Jackson, a.k.a. Arnold Drummond on Different Strokes.
What you talking about?
Exactly. What you talking about, Willis?
I seriously watched like a 3.5-minute video of just what you talking about.
Just cut.
That would get
I knew
Brent was going to get immersed into the Different Strokes, like fucking just episode after episode. I was like,
I'm going to try to finish it. It's 8 seasons, apparently. It's actually fucking funny. Sometimes old stuff like that doesn't translate. It's still,
and I was kind of tripping because it's 8 seasons, but it's listed as running 10 years.
I'll be honest. It's very fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Well, yeah.
As a reboot of that fucking
absolutely.
Show. I never realized that, but they just did a rich black dad
and
two kids from the ghetto. Like, well, not Carlton was already there or whatever, but there's a sister, there's the two boys.
Right. Yeah. And there's that now. There's a show called, well, I think it's off the air now, but my kids watch Jesse. And then she was a nanny, nanny with the butler. And the, you know what I mean?
And
they have a fucking Indian kid. And, you know, like, they just mix it up. And it's
Prince
the same
is
shit.
So fucking copycat. I did not realize that.
But the thing is, though, like, Different Strokes, like, and again, I haven't seen it in so long, I can't really speak to it, but I remember it being like, it's kind of like in the vein of the old sitcom MASH. Mm-hmm. It was like you would watch an episode of MASH and there was genuinely funny shit in it. And there was like, oh, fuck, but that guy died and like no one could save him. And war is fucking awful.
Yeah.
And it's like at the core of it was something that wasn't funny. And like at the core of Different Strokes
was
this like racial tension
and racism. The parents died and like, is the story behind it. The parents die and she was his fucking old maid and he promised that he would take
Mrs.
care of the children.
Garrett.
Yeah.
Wow, that you're bringing it back. I'm like remembering.
You know
shit.
What I noticed? Was the housekeeper, like the maid in that show, is that the lady from Facts of Life?
Yeah, it's Mrs. Garrett.
Okay, but she plays Alice, but she's Miss Garrett in that.
It's the same character.
It's the same character.
It's the same, it's the same world.
No, it's the same universe.
Yeah. Different Strokes is an offshoot. Like it's like she leaves in the show.
Mrs.
Like the storyline is Mrs.
Yeah.
G leaves the show to go work at a girls' school and be the nanny there.
Wow, you're blowing my mind right now. Blowing my mind.
Dave.
I watched that shit happen live time, son.
Like, I watched all
he was like, Miss G's leaving. Oh my gosh. God. Oh shit. She's on Different Strokes.
Yeah. I'm gonna go
with George
Clooney. I'm gonna celebrate the
entire
collection.
I think he just scored a lot of people because I didn't know that. A lot of people probably did not know that. Alice was
the same universe.
No, not Alice.
What are you talking about?
So who's Alice then?
Alice is
where does that come from?
Alice is the show.
That's
about the
Brady Bunch.
Oh no, different Alice. Yeah, Alice, the maid on the Brady Bunch is Alice.
Oh, is that what it is? He said Alice, but then I thought immediately the same thing you thought was the Alice.
Yeah, salad is a different thing.
People are like, talk about Gary Coleman, shut the fuck up and move on. Sorry about that.
Trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
Right. So he ends up being huge. Like the show fucking blows up and it leads to a film career. He makes some movies. And again, I remember watching these as a kid, On the Right Track, The Kid with the Broken Halo, fucking horrible. The Kid with the 200 IQ, so bad.
The Kid with the Bad Kidneys.
Just,
that one's rough. Played
the
himself.
Kid, The Kid with the size 2 shoe.
They actually filmed dialysis. That part was real.
Yeah, it was like 4 hours. That movie was 16 hours long and 4 hours of it was him doing dialysis.
Just groaning in pain.
Yeah. Like you literally could watch him grow a little bit in that movie. It was so fucking long.
Yeah.
What you talking about, doctor?
Yeah.
Like, I'm
what
so
you
sick.
Mean I need kidneys? What you talking about? Dr. Willis?
So yeah, he the Fantastic World of DC Collins, which I don't think I've seen. I have no idea what
that
one could
never
be.
Never heard of that.
But yeah, he did a bunch of
it was
movies.
So bad, nobody's heard of it.
Exactly.
So, but at the height of Different Strokes, he was making between $70,000 and $100,000 per episode.
He made about $18 million, they said.
That's what they said, yeah.
Just on,
stole from him.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and again, the power of this show, like it was so popular that when Nancy Reagan started the Just Say No to Drugs thing. Like that was her platform and her big push. Like that whole Just Say No was her catchphrase. And she launched it by going on Different Strokes. Like, and I
that
remember
some old racist white lady shit where she's like, I bet black kids watch this.
It was some old racist white shit. But the, and I remember like the, he was, Arnold met, he ended up meeting a drug peddler at his elementary school who was selling uppers, downers, and goofballs.
This one just make you feel funny.
Yeah. This one gets you crazy. This one puts you down. And this one just make you dance. But not like cool dance move. You just goofy as a motherfucker.
Oh man. Those, you know what's funny balls. Though is there's the Full House moral to the story in every episode. It's like,
oh, poof, there
music
is.
Changes. Yeah. Yeah. The laugh track fades away, yeah. And the dad's just like, Willis, come here real quick. Let's sit by the jacuzzi with your shirt off uncomfortably, and I'll tell you a lesson in life.
Put your hand on my leg.
I can't believe you thought I was racist. You didn't hear the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Come here, little niggling.
Ooh. That's Dave laughing. There's a black man laughing at that joke.
Why would you say that, Dave?
But yeah, so she ends up on there to stop the spread of goofballs.
Oh, man.
What the fuck?
Because they're so disconnected from the real drug world, they have no fucking idea.
It's called crack cocaine, bitch.
She probably thought it was real.
Well, yeah. Nancy, she's like, well, I hear all the kids are on there, you've got to address the uppers and the downers.
Who's this, Richard
and
Nixon?
Well, the goofballs.
No, that's his Ronald Reagan.
That's my Ronald
Reagan. Oh, Ronald Reagan. That's not a Nixon.
No, Nixon would be, goofballs.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
Slightly different.
What about J. Edgar Hoover?
Pudding.
Okay, that's good.
That works for Cosby too.
I didn't know what J. Edgar Hoover sounded like, so that's, I mean,
he loved pudding.
Now I know.
Yeah, he loved pudding. Yeah, that's where Cosby got it.
He stole it from J. Edgar Hoover. That's who actually killed J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
Fucking Bill Cosby. Fucking buried him under the FBI building.
History, as you know it, is a lie, folks.
That's right. If this show teaches you nothing else, it's that.
Jesus Christ.
It'll confuse the fuck out of you. Don't quote all of us to your friends.
Yeah. It'll make you look crazy.
We didn't land on the moon.
That's what the truth does. Yeah. It makes you look
crazy.
But
Hoover loves Pudding Pops.
And by all means, don't try to include us in some sort of scholarship that you're doing.
Yeah. He also invented the vacuum.
I've had multiple requests over the years from people who are like, all that information that you had on such and such, like, I kind of want to use it in my dissertation. I'm like, please don't.
Don't do that. Don't.
Yeah. Can you give us your sources? Yeah, some fucking bullshit website I read. Like, no, just please.
There was
don't.
No Mr. Potato Famine. Edgar Hoover didn't invent the vacuum.
Yeah. Sometimes, Bill Cosby didn't kill J. Edgar Hoover.
Sometimes we make jokes that are very dry and we don't laugh, and then we just move on.
Yeah. Or we make jokes that are just so not funny that no one thinks it's a joke, even the other two of us. And then one of us just plays it off as if it were a fact.
That's why we haven't done video yet, because we're just giving the cutthroat response to, like, move on, hand across the neck. That didn't work.
So, when Coleman was 10 and, like, which must have been, I guess, 2 years into Different Strokes, he created his own production company, Gary Coleman Productions, to handle his career. His parents became his full-time managers, which, again, that's always like the, you're going to get fucked because your parents.
Well, they didn't just fuck him. There were laws in place for this sort of thing.
They're legally supposed to keep at least 25% of his earnings invested in some fund that no one can touch. So that when he turns 18, at minimum, 25% of the money is there for him.
Yeah. They were taking 47%. And then for the other percentage that they went to court.
On Stern, he said laws, 47%, then 35% tax, then whatever was left, then legal fees or something. He was left with nothing. But what I saw when I read was that they got 20%.
Yeah. They took 47%. More money. They went to court and went around laws and got money to invest in strip malls. He said in Colorado, two different places in Colorado Utah. And so they just literally just took all of his money and invested it in bad business.
And I remember I read a quote, and I can't remember if it was from his mom or it was from his dad. I think it was from his mom, when someone asked after the lawsuits and everything, like, why did you need that much money? And she said, you know, everybody gives us a bad rap. I don't think anyone realizes how expensive it is to maintain a star. There's the drivers, and then we have to keep up with his face and teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
like a televangelist.
That comes to about $50,000 an episode in face and teeth money. Like, I mean, give me a fucking break.
A delicate dance of fighting your, you know, what lifestyle you're going to live at that point. And maybe they had the best of intentions. I don't know if he really was a drug rep and a nurse practitioner. They're intelligent people. They're in some position where they're adopting a child who ends up in showbiz. And, you know what I mean? They're probably some type of,
or they didn't give a shit.
People, and maybe
this ain't our kid.
Their intent was best that they were like, oh, we'll invest. We're going to be smart. We're going to invest in real estate, like this strip mall. We're going to turn this money into this
money. And the other
money.
Thing, too, they might have thought that it was owed to them because they saved him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and they adopted
this kid. Yeah. We've dealt with his medical issues.
Yeah.
Like it's maybe they thought in some way they had it coming to them. So
it's hard to judge him because the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
No, you're right.
And
no.
What might be right for you might may not be right for some.
Right.
So I mean,
that song came back like with a fucking.
It was because Chappelle
slapped me in the face.
It was because Chappelle, and when Chappelle covered it, and it's really hard. Like, I think there's a lot of lawyers hunting that clip down because it's really hard to find the clip of Chappelle and the Roots. Was it Chappelle and the Roots, or was it Chappelle and?
I have to admit, I haven't watched any of that Chappelle stuff. I've only seen like three Chappelle episodes.
Yeah, he doesn't watch black people on TV. This is watching this. You know, watching different.
What's a good? It's a good starting point, though.
Yeah.
When this is done, you'll have to watch Roots.
Yeah. His name is
Kunta Kinte.
That's going to blow your mind. That.
That's the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
His name is Kunta Kinte.
That's Guardians the character from Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Roots?
No.
That's Groot.
That's Groot.
Right. It's played by a black guy, though, right? Vin Diesel, black?
No.
Oh, I'm mixed up on
Vin
this
Diesel, thing. Black? What is happening here?
Anyway.
Tell you what's happening. Dry humor. That's what's happening.
I love it.
I'm well aware.
So when... In 1986, Coleman is finally looking into the trust fund that was supposed to be set aside for him, and it's supposed to have $18 million in it. It's not that he made $18 million.
Okay.
It's that
his portion was
that guaranteed, promised, secure, which again is 25%. So do the fucking math.
Yeah. So he made good money then.
He was expecting to see $18 million in there, and that's $1986. Yeah. And instead, he discovers just over $200,000 has been set aside in that account.
And at some point in time, he goes to Arsenio Hall. I watched the Arsenio interview, and he doesn't like admit to the fact that like all these things have happened. He's like, yeah, dating ladies, I'm dressing like this. And he's like, oh, you know, I got money. He's like, I made $70,000 per episode. And he's like bragging it up. And he's like, he's crying inside.
Yeah.
Right.
But to Arsenio, he's smiling. He's got the pimp.
Or at the time, he didn't fucking know he was getting shafted.
Yeah. What year was Arsenio, though? I don't know. That was like 90s. That was not 80s. Yeah. You're saying 86, he finds out he doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I don't think Arsenio started until maybe 89 or 90. Yeah. But in 93, they go to a lawsuit and he sues them for $3.8 million.
Fuck that. I'd have sued him for $18 million.
But they ended up suing for $3.8. He ends up getting $1.2. Awarded to him by the jury, which is pretty much the only time in his life that he has any fucking money, which he blows through.
Yeah, he buys trains
quickly.
He likes trains.
He does like trains.
Yeah.
Which again came from one of his movies.
That shit's creepy,
which one.
Dude.
One of his movies was all about trains. I think that's where
his life.
It wasn't Silver Spoons where they have the train that you drive around. He was on that show, though, right?
I think he was on Silver
Spoons. I mean, when he was on Stern, he's like 30 something. And he's a virgin. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, never had sex with a woman.
Allegedly.
Has like four friends. Like he literally says, I have four friends.
And they're women.
And one of them's a man.
Yeah.
He said
when he has the fifth friend, he can die happy.
He doesn't act like an adult. He has fucking failed kidney issues. You know what I mean? Where his health is just perpetually bad. Yeah. He goes to dialysis three times a week. And like his just existence is miserable.
Fucking
he's been
rough.
Fucked over by his original parents.
They said on the show set, they would have like some giant bag. He would have to sit there and fucking like drip dialysis, some kind of treatment that he would sit there on set for like 4 hours at a time. And he was a fucking champ that he never complained through any of it.
Fuck. Yeah, that's like, just your life.
There's interviews with like Todd Bridges and whoever.
You know what I mean?
Right. The dad.
Like that's just his life. Like his life is like the whole thing. Is just sad all the way to
Tony Robbins at some point.
But again, so here's like, here's the curse of different strokes. So Dana Plato, who played his sister, at 34, she died of a drug overdose.
Damn.
The day she was on the Howard Stern show, actually.
Really?
Yeah. They said that a lot of people blame Howard Stern because they asked like controversial questions and maybe like, that they had something to do with it, but
no,
yeah, that's her own problem.
That was coming. So she had arrested for petty theft. She had done pornography.
She didn't have no money either. Basically.
She didn't have any money either. Yeah. apparently her son, some kid named Tyler Lambert, when he was 25, committed suicide. And apparently part of his constant depression was the fact that he never got over his mother's constant depression. Damn. So the curse spread to a second generation. And then Todd Bridges, who played Willis, the famous, what you're talking about, Willis, he got arrested in 94 after ramming somebody's car during an argument. He had a serious drug habit. He was like, I think it was actually crack.
Yeah.
He ended up at some point being charged with murder, but getting acquitted. Like, I mean, so the fucking Different Strokes curse was, I think the only one who got out okay was Mrs. Garrett. And that's because she left the show early.
Yeah.
Dude, Coleman had a car ramming accident. Did you guys hear that one?
Yeah, we'll get to it. I didn't get a whole lot.
He had a little bit of a short man syndrome vibe.
He had a temper.
Yeah. He was at a bowling alley, I guess, and some fucking guy took his picture without his permission, and then they got into an argument. And he got off like, I mean, I don't know what they privately settled for, but this fucking guy, he ran his truck into the guy, striking his knee and pulling him under the vehicle, which that could be fucking attempted. That's attempted fucking murder.
Yeah.
Technically, but he said he pleaded no contest and got charged with disorderly conduct and reckless driving and was fined $100.
Well, it's because he couldn't see over the steering wheel.
Yeah, that's what his defense.
It just happened to be that guy that he ran over.
But
they said they settled out of court for an undisclosed amount.
Yeah.
But I read that they settled out of court for the price of the hospital bill, which was like $1,280.
Didn't see that. I saw that when he struck a woman.
Oh, you're right. That was when he beat up the woman.
Yeah. Some lady went in the mall, saw him in the mall or something. And she was a fan of Different Strokes and she approached him. But the funnier part is that he was in the mall shopping for a bulletproof vest. Why do you always break that? How does that happen?
I have no idea.
Jesus Christ.
You see us arm wrestling our microphones?
200
over
episodes in and you're still, fucking he still doing hasn't figured his mic
out. Yeah. So I'll keep talking. He's in the mall shopping for a bulletproof vest. You know,
because
they sell bulletproof vests in the fucking mall. Just pause then.
All right. Hold on. This is the first time ever. Okay, with Dave's mic stand fucking fixed.
I think I've broken the mic. Oh, I think I broke it a long time ago.
You broke
the
record for breaking mic.
It's not broken. You're just pulling the stand out of the fucking thing. Like
it's like tightly affixed.
It's not. It's supposed to swivel. You can swivel the mic's arm.
So Dave can't fold boxes and tape them.
Well, I'm mechanically cursed.
Last week,
like it's beyond ineptitude.
He asked
it's
me to fucking, open a jar a for him. He had a jar of a unknown substance. We won't name it because they're not associated with him. But he had me try to open a jar that he brought all the way from his fucking house to my
similar
shop.
Similar to a pickle jar.
But yes, let me clarify. To try to prove. I didn't bring it to get someone else to open it. I brought
You're
it
proving
to,
a point.
To prove it was unopenable.
And what happened?
I'll tell you what happened. I fucking opened it.
But in my defense, and you have to admit this, because the thing is, it wasn't that it was stuck. I would turn it and turn it and turn it and turn it, and it wasn't fucking open.
Because that's righty tighty, Dave.
No,
you're going the wrong way.
No, it's the way that you're supposed to open
it. He's turning it the wrong way.
But it was, whatever. I'm bad at miming. My mime exists in the bizarro universe. But the fact is, once
you're bad at
opening
jars, too.
You have to admit it. When you opened the jar wouldn't seal.
But maybe after Brad's observation, do you have trouble with other jars?
No.
Because you were turning your hand the wrong way.
No, I don't have
That's
trouble
just
with
coincidence.
Other jars.
There's a little rhyme that they tell everybody.
To Dave's defense, like when I tried to close the jar.
It was hard to close.
It wouldn't close. It wouldn't
would turn
seal.
And pop, turn and pop. Like it wouldn't snap anymore. But I don't know, maybe over-tightening a jar the wrong way would cause that to happen.
Well cause that to happen.
We'll just call it a conspiracy, Dave. It's all right.
It's a curse.
So we were gypsy before Curtis. We got
it's super, just lefty loosey, righty tighty is kind of the norm. You know,
before we got super interrupted though, Gary Coleman was in the mall shopping for a bulletproof vest because they fucking sell those at the mall. What mall sells bulletproof vests?
The one in Michigan,
I guess. I think he was in Utah or some shit. But anyways, it says
Sharper Image, I think, used to sell bulletproof vests.
So she's trying to get his autograph, and he's telling her to leave him alone. And to the point that he fucking punches her in the face several times in front of witnesses.
Didn't hurt.
And he ends up having to plead no contest and has a $1,665 doctor's bill that he has to pay and take anger management.
That's kind of lucky that he got off that easy assaulting somebody. But like his stature
plays into things.
Yeah, he has short man syndrome
and the celebrity thing.
But you know,
if I ran someone over and their fucking knee came under the truck and pulled their body into the truck, I mean, you kind of
just feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's a very
Don't you
sad.
Think an average person would go to prison? And then the punching a woman in the face as a male?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like my toddler, probably make him
a 6 foot tall black actor who beats a woman down in a mall.
Terry Crews that runs to the mall and fucking starts punching women in the face. Terry Crews is going to jail.
Yeah, like let's think about it. If you had a blindfolded trial, right, where you couldn't see him, and they said a 36-year-old black male, no names, was in the mall and became agitated and punched a woman in the face several times, and she had hospital bills
Fuck this guy.
To be paid. That dude's in jail, right? He pays a doctor bill and it goes to anger management.
One of the things is, though, can you put Gary Coleman in jail? Like, he's fucked.
Well, solitary confinement. Like, he has to be segregated.
It doesn't work like that, though. Like, I don't know.
They just put him in juvie.
Just sitting in a juvenile hall. Oh my God.
Through this whole thing, though, like, aside from like the recorded instances of his anger, there was also a lot of recorded instances of depression after the show.
Right.
He attempted suicide several times. He couldn't get work anymore because even though he didn't get any taller than he was,
The sad thing
is, when you look, I thought he was a lot older than he was when he died, because when you look at those pictures, he does not look 42.
No.
He looks like fucking 52 or something.
The reason people look so old at young ages when they like smoke and drink is the same problem. Like, kidneys are important. They filter shit out of your body. Yeah. So having issues with your kidneys would, you know, it's going to make it, you're like a hard life. Yeah. Like, he drank and smoked whether he did or not. And you would think that he would be successful in suicide with pills with fucking kidney problems.
Right.
He can't make it a couple of days without having his blood filtered and try to kill himself with pills.
So he ends, and even like his anger flares up again. July of 2007, he's arrested for an argument. He's arrested for disorderly conduct because he gets in an argument with, at the time, his girlfriend named Shannon Price, who becomes a very important figure in his life.
Did you see the video of that?
No.
The cop had him by the back of his shirt, and he's like, "Oh, you're an angry little guy, aren't you?"
He's carrying him.
No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Got him. You got me with that one. So he ends up meeting this girl, Shannon Price, on the set of a movie called Church Ball in 2006. And they end up getting married the same year.
Very strange. I want to know how that went down. Like, I mean,
she was an extra. He was actually acting in it.
I get that. I'm just saying, like, yo, girl, what's up? Like, I'm 4'8". Like, I mean, you're Gary Coleman. You're carrying that fucking clout.
He didn't do well with women. He didn't have any romantic relationships.
That's why I'm wondering how he pulls this off into marriage. You know what I mean? Like,
it's probably on her end.
Like, she was after money, possibly.
In a quote I got from him, his stance on it was, he said that she was the first woman in his life. He said, quote, "I never got the opportunity to be romantic or feel romantic with anyone. I wasn't saving myself. She just happened to be the one."
Right.
And a lot of the stuff I read was that she wasn't necessarily a gold digger because he didn't have a lot of money, but I think she was trying to
ride the fame train.
She knew she could get famous and pick up some acting work and whatever by being the girl that married Gary Coleman.
I'm not trying to make shit weird, but I'm going to make shit weird. Like, there's one thing, if someone's a little person, okay, they look like they're 30. The problem with him is he looks like he's 10 or 12. So if you're a grown-ass woman and you somehow become romantically interested and involved with this guy, it looks like you're doing stuff with a 12-year-old little black boy.
There's some women that look really young. that and guys it would are married be
fucking
to.
Weird.
There's people married to him.
I know. Like, and it's weird is what I'm saying. That would that's a difficult situation because it's like
everybody has different standards.
Like, yeah, you're married to her. No, she's 20. You're like, yeah, she looks like she's fucking 12.
Right.
That's still weird, dude. I mean,
right.
Kudos to her for finding love and everything. And it's sad that people are in that situation, but man, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's what I'm saying.
It's not about the outside, Brent. It's what's on the inside that matters.
That's right.
Outside,
you're a dick.
Outside, the different. Inside, the same as same.
Inside, yes.
You. So, their entire marriage was apparently just fraught with anger and fighting and turmoil.
Yeah, she wasn't the one. They were on
fucking divorce court
a year later.
The actual divorce court,
like the TV show.
Yeah, the divorce TV court. Show.
Yeah, I watched part of that. I was pretty.
Yeah, funny, it was actually. Rough. It was rough.
Because he said he doesn't want kids into the marriage. She wants kids. The judge is like. You know, I don't think it's scripted, but it's some sassy black woman judge. And then Gary comes like, you see that look on your face right there? He's like, that's my face every night. Like, it's because she's like, she's looking at the, like shaking her head at the white girl. Like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? You know what I mean? He doesn't want kids.
Right.
Yeah. I told my fiance that and
did it. The most comedically timed sigh.
I'm kidding.
But he even said in a quote.
I kid.
About
I have
her.
Kid, I have kid.
We may go a week and not even speak to each other when he was talking about his marriage.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good marriage.
I spoke with love.
That's actually the best marriage.
So
just asking
this. So he's in this fucking Rocky thing. They end up getting a divorce, and even though they get a divorce, she never moves out. They never get separate accounts. They just like get a divorce. And
allegedly,
though,
he gets a restraining order.
He does get a restraining order
so that she can't live at his house.
Right.
But the claims that she lived there come after his death because she wants to claim common law marriage, to try to get his estate.
Yeah.
So we don't know that she really lived there because she allegedly had affairs.
That's true. Now
she's with other men.
Yeah. Right. Now things are getting dicey.
Yeah. Now shit dicey.
And one of the reasons he was saying he didn't want to have sex was because of AIDS and syphilis and fucking gonorrhea, syphilis, and fucking all kinds of shit.
Encephalitis.
Yeah. Encephalitis. Yeah.
He's fucking, like, you could get the flu.
Yeah. You can get
really confused.
You can get fucking. You can get sickle cell anemia. Yeah.
Fucking. He's like, I ain't be trying to buy Dimetap and shit every day.
What you talking about?
Yeah.
All these other brothers out here.
Yeah. Everybody else got the purple flu, walking around with the flu on their balls.
I don't got that much tussin.
Yeah. I can't afford it right now. My parents took all my money.
Yeah.
So as things go on, like a couple of weird things, like he ended up during the recall election in 2003 in California, he threw his name in for the governorship and he was actually ran for governor.
Yeah.
It was paid for by a newspaper East Bay Express. And it was
killed his campaign, though. During the debate, Schwarzenegger picked him up and held him. He's like, oh, look at you. You're so cute.
You're a tasty little morsel.
Yeah. You look like chocolate donut bar.
I will eat you.
So tasty. Look at the protein for me muscles.
For me muscles.
I went into some Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. You did the Arnold Krabs.
Arnold Krabs. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Me money. Yeah.
So, that's not even a good Mr. Krabs.
Me money. Yeah. I don't know. Is that Mr. Krabs? Nah. Who? How you do, Mr. Krabs?
Mr. Krabs. This is Mr. Krabs. I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
Eats a crab.
Give me my money. No? I don't know.
Okay. Mr. T was on Different Strokes, by the way.
See, right into that segue. Fantastic. I had it right there.
But the thing is, though, Mr. T, I remember the episode, Mr. T was a figment of his imagination. Mr. T was...
I keep saying Mr. T a lot.
He was... Fuck, Mr. T's the shit.
Mr. T, Mr. T,
Mr. T.
Mr. T.
Mr. T. Mr. T. Mr. T loved tea. He drank tea.
People hate us.
He wore a t-shirt.
In the show, Arnold Drummond had a Mr. T doll. And
the feeling you're feeling right now is that feeling when me and Dave aren't laughing at you.
Yeah.
That's how we feel. I mean, so.
But I can rest assured a couple fans are laughing somewhere. Yeah. But right now, I think we're annoying the entire world.
He has a Mr. T doll and he keeps having a rough time. And when he talks to the Mr. T doll, Mr. T shows up in his bedroom and talks back to
I had a Mr. T doll and we had this fucking
dog. You probably had the same Mr. T doll.
It was. It's the 18 yeah. fucking Mr. T doll and the fucking we had this dog. I came home and
was it a life size Mr. T?
He chewed his head off. He chewed just the mohawk off the top of his head.
Like hollow. I think, mohawk.
Yeah, Mr. T was my favorite character on 18 for sure.
He was the fucking shit. Yeah. Mr. Anyway, T was
good. Is that really him in the John Cena video?
Mr. T?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No. There's a John Cena video with Gary Coleman in it, and Mr. T is in it because it's an A-Team reboot, and John Cena plays fucking the cigar guy. What's his name?
Hannibal,
that's right.
Yeah. So, and again, late in life, and this I thought was really odd. Did you guys read anything about the musical called Avenue Q?
Yes.
So, a musical, Big New York, it won the Tony in 2004 for Best Musical. It's called Avenue Q. And the concept was basically the main character, who was the superintendent of the apartment complex, was Gary Coleman.
And the song, the leading song, was It Sucks to Be Me. Yeah. It's fucking horrible.
That's about but right.
The creators, a guy named Jeff Marks and Robert Lopez, actually had a meeting set up because when they wrote the musical, they wanted Gary Coleman to play Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Right.
Like they wanted him to play this version of himself because they thought it would have been perfect. Yeah, and
I can imagine him not wanting to do it.
Well, he set up the meeting. He said that he was going to meet with them and talk about it. And then he just never showed up at the meeting. Yeah. They ended up going forward with it. He wasn't called Gary Coleman and they changed facts. But of course, Gary Coleman tried to sue him and it didn't work out, but I thought that was very interesting. Avenue Q, yeah, that's very strange. Like, how would you not take that role if you're Gary Coleman at that point?
He's very prideful.
At the same time, he said he'd work his work. He said a dollar's a dollar. However,
he was a liar, though.
Security
he lied
guard.
About a lot of shit.
Like that, honestly, that could have been a serious relaunch of his career.
You got a fucking
like
Tony.
Him, exactly. Him playing himself, being a serious actor, it could have led to all kinds of shit. And he just doesn't show up to the fucking.
Like
meeting.
I said, I think his ego. I think he thinks he was more serious than he really was.
Maybe.
You know, he thinks that people took him on as a serious actor when he was a comedic actor in the first place.
Right.
And he should have just looked at it as funny and did it, you know?
Right.
But I think he really thought about the writing and the script having to be a certain way. And even though he didn't even go to that because he probably knew like, hey, these guys are kind of fucking making fun of me. Fuck these guys. You know,
right.
When he should have just took it on. And sucked up his ego and did it, you know?
Right. So at this point, like we're talking, you know, mid late 2000s, he starts to have a lot of health problems.
His health problems continue.
He ends up having heart surgery because he has complications to pneumonia. And he ends up having a heart seizure in February of 2010 on a set. I don't know what a fucking heart seizure is, but that
not a heart attack.
Yeah. No, it's apparently different. And then seizure. On May 26, 2010, he's admitted to Utah Valley Regional Medical Center in Provo, Utah, after a fall in his home. That was on the 26th. He dies on the 28th at age 42 after suffering an intracranial hemorrhage from the fall.
During his medical issues at that time, too, he would start to do like crazy auctions and just start selling shit on eBay. And he sold his a pair of his pants. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And there were like fake bids upwards of like 400 grand and shit. But they ended up selling for $500. And the buyer, the winner, $500.
Yep.
Jimmy Kimmel. And he hung them from the rafters of the show.
Of his office.
Yeah. Or I said in the show or something.
I think it's in his office.
Yeah. I was wondering. I was like, I wonder if those are still up in the show somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
But damn, how sad, dude. You think his pants would go for more?
Well, the thing is, like, he was on, well, the Howard Stern thing, he was promoting, like, some company was going to help him out and do, like, charity towards him. And he's like, we're going to give away a bunch of cool stuff. Like, I'm going to give away some trains and I'm going to give away some hats. Yeah. And I'm like, nobody wants this shit, dude. Like, and he was like super excited about it. Like, everybody wanted this shit.
Right.
Like, it was going to be
awesome.
I
almost bought an autographed Gary Coleman picture last night on eBay, and it was surprisingly cheap. There was no sort of authenticity, but the story was good. I don't know. It looked real.
I mean, why would it be worth anything?
It's worth it to me.
I mean, well, no, it's worth it.
It's like familiar pigeons.
No, I'm saying, like, I'm saying, like, ingrained in my soul. You're not going to find Gary Coleman autographed picture for $2,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's,
well, dude, like Jimi Hendrix guitar only sold for like $250,000 or something. It blows my mind sometimes. You'd think that it would go for more than $250,000.
I don't know.
That's Jimi fucking Hendrix guitar.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of great things that, you know, rookie cards from baseball players who did, you know what I mean? Amazing things.
Yeah, Canseco or something. Yeah. You're like, oh, steroids done. No.
Yeah, or that, or Frank Thomas and stuff, you know, Will Clark. Like, there's so many guys, and even older, all the old stuff, it's not that much. Unless it's like one of the first baseball cards ever.
Right.
Then it's worth, you know, $100,000, $200,000. But, you know, like, there's a lot of things that just, they're just not valued because obviously it's supply and demand.
Sure.
Obviously, you know.
It makes me realize in like 3 years, I'll be like, I used to have a really popular podcast. Yeah. I had so many Instagram followers. People used to wear my shirt and put fake tattoos on.
No, I'm serious. No,
hot sauce places. I'm like, you know, like everyone. I was like,
you're gonna be in the old folks' home. They're gonna be like, okay, Mr. Van Tassel. Sure, they did.
Just eat your peas.
Yeah.
Eat your mashed potatoes, Brent.
So with his death, again, there's just legal madness after his death. So in 2005, Gary Coleman had signed a will naming Anna Gray, who was the head of his corporation and apparently an ex-girlfriend of his. And he named
her boobies only. Yeah. Though, that's all he did.
He named her as executor and beneficiary of the will. But then he married Price in 2007 and he signed an update to the will, which was very strange, that gave everything to his wife. And it said the update to the will said, quote, I have made this change of free will and was not coerced in any way. This I have done because of my personal selfishness and weakness, and I love her with all my heart. The fuck?
I don't know.
That's
man.
A weird thing to put in a will. Like, that's very bizarre.
He's a bizarre character.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I keep saying it, his whole life, like, everything is weird. Like, he doesn't have that normal just life.
No.
You know, and even on, you know, he even said, like, what child star hasn't tried to commit suicide at some point? And I'm like,
and we don't even know what version of Gary that is at this time. What temporal
is it? Scary Gary? Yeah,
this is where it starts.
Is it scary Gary? Is it normal Gary?
And so she's fighting for all this stuff, which again, I think she's just fighting for the fame because I can't say she's not getting anything. His house is worth about $300,000 in Salt Lake City. It's not like you're going to fucking retire on it, but that's not nothing. He had a pension. And from what I read, and I was trying to, the number varied, but this is one that I saw mentioned the most, was that his residuals annually for TV and movie works, A Man His Likeness and whatever, came to about $75,000 a year. That's not nothing. Yeah. I mean, if you're unemployed and you can win a lawsuit and get a $300,000 house and $75,000 a year,
you don't have to work
anymore.
Nothing
that's to
really
fucking sneeze at, you know? But so there's a whole weird thing about, you know, common law marriage and whether or not they were still married that she keeps trying to drum up. And basically the judge says all the testimony from the witnesses say that she physically abused Coleman in public and at their house when people would come over. She would lead him around by the hand like a child, showed no physical affection towards him ever in front of any of the witnesses who were friends and family members. They were like, no, she never even hugged him or touched him or anything.
So he could have died a virgin, technically.
He very well might have. He might have never had sex with her.
That was probably part of the debate because you have to like consummate the marriage for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wonder if that came into play.
That marriage ended though.
Yeah.
The first marriage, they got a fucking divorce.
Right.
But then she was claiming she still lived with them and that common law marriage took over after their formal
divorce.
Is
the thing, like, you know, Brent, you were talking about, well, she wasn't really a gold digger, but then again, her actions after everything are saying she's a gold digger.
Well,
you know what I mean?
She was like an extra actress. And what does she have at this point? You know what I mean? What's she going to do?
Yeah.
Literally, what's she going to do?
How about go get a fucking job?
Yeah, but like what job? So she had to go for it. She saw the opportunity. Yeah. She has to try.
It's gold digger.
Yeah, and you're especially not getting much extra work in fucking Salt Lake City.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
And Gary even made the comment of who would buy property in Utah?
Right.
About his parents buying commercial property in Utah, and then he lives in Utah. Like,
That's probably because the house was already bought.
Like,
he probably
disaster.
Just moved into the house he got from a lawsuit or something.
His life's a disaster.
But So, and the thing is, you can, I'll post a link to one specific video on YouTube. You can find multiple versions of it, but the, so the 911 call where allegedly Coleman fell and hit his head and what ended up killing him.
Tell the story how you got there, how this happened.
So I listened to it and it's really fucking bizarre. It's really flat and it's his wife. It's Shannon Price making the call. And like, she's upstairs and is talking and like, you know, oh no, my husband fell downstairs. There's a lot of blood everywhere. And I've just been really ill and I can't go down there.
Yeah, she said, I can't see blood.
I can't see blood. And she kept saying, because plus I've been so ill. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't stand up that long. So I can't really go down there. And the 911 operator is like, is he still breathing? And she's like, I think he was. There was like bloody bubbles in his mouth and stuff. But I can't go down there. And she's like, can you put a towel on the back of his head? And she was like, can you? And she was like, I don't think I can do that. And she was like, well, can you find a towel and give it to him so he can put it on the. And she was like, I'll see what I can do.
At one point, like, said you should probably come soon because I don't even know if he's going to be like alive when you get
right,
here.
Right,
like that fucking was so strange.
No,
dude.
It's very strange.
That was like Sandy Hook parents' behavior.
She refuses to get involved and help. And I never do this. I never scroll down and look at any of the fucking trolls' comments on a YouTube video. But for some reason, I just really wanted to see what the reaction was to this woman's weird flat 911 call. And one guy said, if you listen at a minute and 57 seconds, you straight up hear him say, why did you hit me in the background? And then he said, how come this bitch isn't in jail? WTF. And I went back and I replayed it. And at 157, I'm not talking EVP. It's not, I mean, it's faint. I mean, you have to have headphones on and like really listen to it, but it is, I mean, it's fucking clear. And you hear someone in the background kind of groggy say, why did you hit me?
Wow. Maybe I'll pull that video up. We'll do some Ghost Hunters isolation and fucking zoom in on that.
I'll put the link up in the show notes. So if you go to the website and hit the show notes, you'll find that actual link. And at 157, you'll hear him fucking say that in the background, but it's,
I might
but
put that in the intro. If I can get that noise.
Why did you hit me? It's very faint. I mean, but you can fucking hear it back there.
Yeah. It's a sad existence for this man. Like I it really was depressing. Like, I mean, you know, going into any child star and you know the history of Gary Coleman, and it's just man, you don't wish that life upon anybody,
right?
You know, I get it's a fucking, it's horrible.
No, it's a horrible life.
So are we going to talk about how it came to be?
Yeah, so, and we've talked on the show before about like the magical powers of Gary Coleman and the various,
his father,
his time traveling.
His father, who we don't mention a whole lot because he is the one with the time travel machine.
Right, right.
And he could literally erase us, I guess.
So what, from what I've read, and again, this is all conspiracy theory, so it's really hard to back any of this stuff up. Apparently, there's the group called the Black Crusaders that are like the secret, like black mafia that run, like if you're black and you're famous, like you're only still black if they say so.
Yeah.
So like the Black Crusaders voted and said Michael Jackson was still black. They even said that Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish was still black.
That's a stretch. He sings country.
Yeah, but when he became Darius Rucker and sang country, they had a meeting and they kicked him out. So he was no longer black. So they're very powerful. It was Oprah Winfrey. Bill Cosby used to be in it. I'm not sure who else, but it's like, it's the most powerful black people.
Does Bill Cosby get kicked out?
I don't know if he got kicked out or not. I don't know. It's all whispers and hearsay.
Yeah.
But they, I don't think they, I don't know. I doubt Oprah does. But apparently they meet four times a year.
You're half-assed famous. Have you been contacted?
No, I haven't.
No.
But they meet four times a year in the head of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, like the Ghostbusters. Was that a set on Ghostbusters 2 or was that the actual head of the Statue of Liberty?
A set.
Oh, no.
But anyway, that's where they meet. They bring all of their black artifacts. They're totems of horrible power.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what happened, and I don't know the year, but the story goes.
So they're like the Illuminati, the Illuminati, but they're real though.
Right.
And I'm going to start a whole crew with the Illuminati.
The Illuminati. It's just llamas.
Ride llamas.
Yeah. Ride llamas.
So they are the Illuminati. So the Black Crusaders. And
I can't help but create things. No. I sound like an idiot, but it's just
Tyler Mott will draw a picture of the Illuminati.
So apparently Gary Coleman went to the Black Crusaders Crusaders at one of their annual meetings. They allowed him a visit because of his stature as a black child star. And he claimed he was going there in order to like appeal to like bring his fame back, because they could do it with a snap of their fingers. But what he was really doing is the mummified hand of the actress Hattie McDaniel, mm-hmm. who was the first black person to ever win an Oscar for Gone with the Wind. Apparently her mummified hand had horrible power.
Horrible, but great.
Yes. But he ended up going to the meeting because he didn't really care about the fame. He went there to steal the hand because he knew with that, the hand of Hattie McDaniel, he could do almost anything. And then what the mistake was, he had that hand in his possession. And he there's another legend, another black legend. Cause I mean, people always use the phrase.
Is it a legend?
It is a legend, okay. But people say black don't crack.
That's a black legend,
you know, because like black people don't look as old, they don't get wrinkles, etc. But apparently that phrase comes from the fact that there is a crack of black don't crack, which is like a fissure in the earth that releases all of the magic that makes black people look young. Hmm. And he went there.
It's called the Lubriderm fissure.
Yeah. He went there with the mummified hand of Hattie McDaniel, and the two things combined and unleashed a horrible power that only his father could contain. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of him being lost in space and time, being hungry for power. I don't know what he's after. I don't know if he's stuck in time. I don't know, but I know a lot of
children's clothing. Allegedly, I hear that the temporal displacement and time travel is really hard on your clothes. That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger and Terminator is always naked when he arrives.
Right.
So that's the first thing he does, tries to get clothes, and the fly when he comes out of the thing
naked. So the first thing you have to do is clothe yourself, and he's got to get clothes.
If you wake up in the national park, you need clothes. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're in the harsh environment. And so he has small stature. The next best thing is going to be a child, obviously.
Right.
And you can't have evidence. So that's how on July 1st, 2016, Brad uncovered what we have learned now.
Well, that's when I mentioned it. Yeah. I was uncovering it.
He was studying it for years.
It was a theory, but at that point he felt he had compiled enough evidence that he could come forward and make the allegation without too much backlash, because he can back it up. I mean, obviously.
And again, there's a lot of speculation here because it's a conspiracy theory. I mean, some people think that his father, Forrest Whitaker, built a machine to just harness the temporal power emanating off of Gary Coleman.
Well, one of the things about that is I read, there's a couple of different sources, and some say that Forrest Whitaker is not his real father. Mm-hmm. Others claim that he is, and that he actually worked for
the Black Crusaders.
Yeah, the Black Crusaders. Yeah. I keep wanting to call something else. You got me mixed up with the other thing.
The Black
Fourth Graders.
Yeah.
So he actually worked for them. And then when Coleman stole the hand, they actually sent him out to get him. To retrieve the hand.
Oh, so he's like an agent.
But there's the other thing where there's like three pieces to it. Like, he's not his father. He went after him. Then they kind of quirks together to start changing history. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other thing of where he already was his father, and it happened to be that then they reunited.
I dismissed it because it's the only guy that said this, and I think the guy's kind of a little bit crazy, but there was even one that said that he was actually Gary Coleman's son. But because of time travel, he just seems like he's old enough to be his father.
Right.
So that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, there's,
it's confusing. Time travel. Nobody
knows.
Confusing.
Yeah. Nobody really knows for sure. But I think he is, his actual father. He worked for, the agency. They sent him out, they met up, and like you said, it's a very blurred, thing on what's happening,
right.
You know, so we don't really know why he's doing what he's doing.
Some of the theories are that he's looking to advance the medical, like his kidney issue. He's trying to find a cure, and apparently, like, that's the JFK connection. There was an underground experiment, like some MK Ultra stuff going on about kidney, like a black market kidney ring, and he thought by killing Kennedy, Nixon was more likely to support that medical research.
A lot of people don't know that one of Nixon's kids actually had some kidney issues,
right?
So that's where that connection comes from,
right?
So Yes. I mean, there's a whole lot of things, you know, and it started out as an innocent, you know, hunt for, a cure basically. Right. And it turned into him.
Well, the original, the Kidney Foundation, the research group is actually called, it was Nixon's Kids, but, the acronym was KEDS. And that's actually where they started the shoe company,
yeah.
which a large portion of the proceeds went to funding, kidney research.
Kidney failure. Yeah. Yeah. All the,
it all, it comes kidney, full yeah. circle really. I mean, it's, yeah. it's most, dizzying.
Most we know, people,
we're experts and it's confusing.
Most people think that if you see him and you're not going to be able to, because you won't be fast enough. You won't be powerful yeah. enough. But if you could somehow get the mummified hand of Hattie McDaniel out of his possession, he would lose his power.
Yeah.
Right.
That's he will die.
That's one of the theories.
He will actually die.
Right.
So with the time travel,
but that's fucking easier said than done.
Yeah. I mean, we've discussed he's incredibly fast. He actually is invisible sometimes, mm-hmm. yeah. at times, but a lot of times it's a black blur.
I ran into him once. My only success. I keep Reese's Pieces in my left pocket. Right. You could tackle
this
my
is
right.
where, yeah. And the Reese's Pieces. Actually, Brent found out the Reese's Pieces trick because he went after the Reese's Pieces. So,
right.
Yeah.
Some serial killers
have actually adapted that because my, you know, I led Reese's Pieces into the woods, and the serial killers adapted their stamp collection right. in the woods. That came from the Reese's Pieces yeah. methods.
Yeah. So when we go Coleman hunting, Reese's Pieces are a staple.
It's the only thing that'll protect you.
Swedish fish. He liked Swedish fish. And then obviously miniature train pieces. Those things, you can lie those around, and I mean, you put a lure on them and hopefully you can get a hook in.
And you might buy yourself a couple seconds if you have like miniature any candy, yeah. like a miniature Snickers, a miniature like the bite-sized pieces, like any miniature candy, you might buy yourself 1 or 2 seconds. Not enough. I don't think it'll spare your life.
Says, "Oh, how tiny, it's cute, just like me." And then he's back on immediately. Like that's how much time you get out of that.
Yeah, and it's went from him, like I said, it's went from him hunting for a cure to actually, he's actually taking in the blood from others to filter his own blood.
Gathering power.
It's changed very
much.
There
is no Chupacabra, there's Chupa Coleman. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That entire
all the goat sucking, all the blood drinking. Yeah, that's all.
It started out, he didn't want to hurt kids. Started out with the goats.
Cattle mutilation.
In Mexico, cattle mutilation, and then children. Because he can't carry off a grown man.
Right.
But he can carry off a child.
And he needs the clothes.
Yeah.
Because of the time travel.
Yep.
So it's crazy. It's a crazy story.
I mean, and we've tried to give you as much of the information as we have. I mean, try to protect yourself, Reese's Pieces in the left pocket, and be as fast as you can. I mean, if you can.
You're not getting this anywhere else. No one has the balls to talk about this because he's such a threat.
Yeah. Well, and Forrest, like I said, we don't talk about him. I'm not going to talk ill about him. We don't know the reasoning behind it. Right. They have a good reason. But you know, Whitaker has the time machine and, yeah, I mean, he could just take us out. I mean, he could go back in time and it's over for us.
Right. He could airbrush us faster than a cosmonaut if he wanted to.
Yep. It would be slanty, though, because the eye,
he'd fuck it up a little bit.
Like, he might only get half of you gone. Right. Like, and that would really suck because then you're walking around with half of you.
Right.
So, but yeah, so that's Gary Coleman. So let's do the rest of the Patreon. On a serious note, we just want to thank, we already thanked some of the patrons.
And just to say real quick, we're going to do patrons, we're going to do sponsors, but after sponsors, we're going to bring back news or bullshit. Don't go away.
So we just want to.
It's a bonus.
Where'd you get to on this?
We're going to play a game.
So we're bringing it back.
For the old school fans, if you haven't heard it, we used to play a game called News or Bullshit all the time.
Something I totally forgot.
So, where are you at? Oh, man, you didn't read hardly any, Dave.
You're the one that wants to read a million. I mean, we need to thank
you for sure. Yeah, I do. Important. I want to. So, actually, before we get into that, a guy just messaged me on Instagram and said, "You guys seriously care about your fans. That makes me super appreciative." So, you know, this is one of those things that we're trying to do. And we do care about the fans. So, thank you, Jerry Hoyer. Apparently, I think you live in California.
Fuck that guy.
You don't like him?
I don't care about him.
Okay. So thank you.
That's the one fan we don't care about.
I don't even think he's Patreon. But I just want to, you know, things like that, like I said.
No, it means a lot. It really does.
Yeah. It's why we do this show. You guys love it. And, you know, thank you. Just want to give you, you know, let you know how we feel, because we don't always do that. You know, we're always blowing bullshit or whatever. I don't know. So, thank you, Robin Ferguson, Terry Vard, Joel Rankin, Anthony Papilia, Sammy Walsh, Aaron Patrick, Jennifer Turner, Steve Salbo, Seth Holmes, Brandon Enox, Lisa Upham, Emily Yill, PJ Cole, Desiree Henson, Dylan Gregory, Krista Shaw, Eccentric Bakersfield, Josh Burton, Lauren Robinson, Jason Roskam, you dirty bastard, Stephen Langston, and Jarrell Jones, the bagel man himself. I think that's it.
Well, there's a lot.
P. Grande, Sam Culper for running the
absolutely
the
unofficial
SK Ultra page on Facebook. If you don't know about it, go there. You can vote on topics, and that's kind of where we pick our topics from, just because people are voting on them. So we know, hey, 100 people want
to. You have to be invited into the group, but if you
just
hit one of us up, and by one of us I mean not me, because I never check anything on Facebook.
I'm not an admin.
So by one of us, hit up Brent or Sam Culper.
And you joined Facebook 3 days ago, and you sound like you're from another country, and you are a member of 398 groups, I will block you right away.
So thank you, and thank you to all the other patrons too.
Absolutely,
everybody
means a lot.
Yeah, everybody, we appreciate it. So and we've said it before, even if you can give $1, $2, $3, whatever, we appreciate those, because that means you just want to help us out. You're not trying to get anything in return. Right. So everything is appreciated. And if you could send us whiskey, we'd appreciate it, and we thank you even more.
And we will shout you out, and we will put your bottle on our whiskey wall. Just expanded, because we got new shelves that you made those.
What,
the shelves
right out of the box from IKEA? Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, right out of the box from IKEA. And then did we talk about the poster that Sam sent?
Sam Culber sent us a poster of our Patreon background header, and surprisingly, we were able to name like 80% of those people by sight.
Thank you, Sam.
We do know who you are, yeah.
And then also, somebody gave us a Bruce Lee.
Rogue Leader gave us a Bruce Lee
pencil drawing.
Yeah, big. Amazing, signed, and a Bruce Lee action figure. She didn't draw it. She bought it in a mall somewhere, but whoever this guy is that signed it, I wish I knew. It looks amazing.
Because we need the Chuck Norris one right next to it.
Nice. Yeah. We do need a Chuck Norris.
So thank you, everybody. I mean, again, you know, this is our 200th episode, which you probably know that. You know, thank you to our sponsors, and everybody who's been with us from the beginning. We appreciate it, because some of you have.
All right. I'm going to do the sponsors, and then stay tuned, because we're going to play a fun game. So thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can go to their website. You can go to Amazon, Walmart, your local grocery store, and purchase that. If you order it on their website, you can use code SOFAKING to save some money. If you're outside of the United States, you can order it on mexgrocer.co.uk or Amazon. There's lots of places. Just Google it. You'll find it. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can order printed goods there, stickers, temporary tattoos, banners, flyers, whatever. They anything you can print, they pretty much make it and can source it. You can save some money by using code SOFAKING. Thank you to De Leon Graphics with an X. He does all of our screen printing, t-shirts, koozies. You can find him on Facebook and Instagram at De Leon Graphics with an X. And thank you to Digital Creations at digital.bakersfield on Instagram and Facebook. They do all of our coffee mugs and heat transferred products. They can make stuff for you too, so contact them and check them out. Thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log to armhunter.com for apparel and instructional DVDs. And on that note, music will probably come in
here. Are we
trying to make a consequence, or just bragging rights?
Are we doing consequence?
I don't know.
You guys want to talk like Tyrone if you lose?
I don't think I can pull that off.
He's like, you guys want to do that amazing thing that only I can do?
I think we just go for honor. Whoever wins gets the honor. Because normally our punishment was some sort of an impression, and they had to do the sponsors.
And we're usually horrible.
But we already did the sponsors, so I don't know what we would do.
Yeah.
So
if you do this again, bragging, we'll come up with something. Yeah, we'll find
so again, the concept of news or bullshit is that we read news headlines that are either true news or they are bullshit.
And you have to guess.
I have an idea.
And then the rest of us have to guess. Okay.
Pick a patron from that list, and if you win, that patron gets a prize. We'll mail them something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So whoever wins, news or bullshit, that your chosen patron gets something.
Okay.
Well, I'll pick Yanuri Dietrich then.
All right. Let me see. I will pick
random
fucking read with my hand on there. Yeah. Eyes. I will pick Breck Gonzalez.
Oh, a new patron.
Yeah.
Brecker 911.
I'm gonna dig back into some weirdness here and not be on the top.
That fucking cricket.
Yep, he's back right in the middle of our game.
It's just in time for news. Bench.
I'm gonna do Stephen Langston.
All right.
Mr. Langston. Langston. Dietrich, Brecker Gonzalez, and Langston.
All right. Who's going first? So the concept of the game is we have news headlines that may be true or false in front of us that we either found on the internet or completely fabricated or merged and made up or, you know,
whatever.
So we're going to read them. Yeah. With the assumption that it is true. And then the other two hosts have to choose if it's true or false. And if we stump them, we get a point. If they get it, we get nothing. So that's how so you
we
get should, a point.
Do we each have three at least?
I think Brad has four, but he can pick.
I can just
well, let's three. Each do three because then that's we're fine. Even. Yeah, that's right. Fine. Okay. Okay, so I'll launch, and mine all deal with Florida.
Okay.
I went with
I actually few. Have a Florida one.
And just so these that. Are, yeah, the Florida ones are always hard.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Because hard. They're all ridiculous, yes. And you don't know if they're true or not.
Okay, and I'll just read, should I just read the headline, or should I
read the headline and read the text,
little bit of the text?
The Florida ones are going
to
be rough.
Okay. Headline, Florida man wants jury to see his big penis to show he accidentally choked his girlfriend to death during oral sex.
That's true.
True.
You don't want me to read the text. You're locking
it in. Saying that's true. Locking it in.
I look up big dicks on the internet all the time. I've come across that story.
Article.
Yep.
It is true.
Yeah. Gotcha. Boom.
Jesus Christ. So 1-1. 1-1, Dave zero.
I don't think I need to read anything. I think that headline is pretty self-explanatory.
I don't understand.
And welcome to Florida.
I feel like, and I think I did read that maybe he fucking got, he did display the meat. I don't understand how that fucking proof.
Well, as of yet, they would, because the proof is apparently.
I'd like to present Exhibit D.
His argument is that his member is so large that it would choke anyone, and that's why it wasn't. He didn't choke her to death. Unless on purpose.
It was an accident.
Right. Put the tip in. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Went down the throat.
But he wants to show it off to the jury.
All right. So I'll go. So, all right. So that one is true. So it's 1-1 and 0 for Dave. All right. So
keep track of your own points on your page, I guess, right?
I'm just keeping track of all the points.
Okay.
And since we're each doing three, we'll each have
can
three.
Can we trust
that don't
him after the whole bum wallet thing?
Huh?
I don't know.
All right. So man breaks into New Orleans preschool, beds down for the night. New Orleans police are seeking a man who broke into a preschool, made himself at home, complete with a meal and a little bed made from stuffed toys.
Yeah, that's true. Sounds reasonable.
I'm going to say false on that one.
Locked in.
Locked in.
That's true.
Damn it.
All right.
It so was the, how do I get? Do I get a point on that? Because I fooled.
No.
I
guess all,
I don't. Oh no. Okay. Yeah. You don't get a point. Okay. No. So. All right. Go, Brent.
All right. Church in Thailand claims monkey sex is not a crime. All right. So that's the headline. Church in Thailand is filing for a religious exemption from bestiality prohibition, stating that male clergy should be exempted from persecution under Religious Prejudice Act of 1984. The church legal representation states that the clergymen exercise relief from celibacy enforced by the Theravada Buddhism in their region. Convictions of bestiality currently carry a 5-year prison sentence. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
I'm gonna say that's a tough one. I'm gonna say true.
Everybody locked in?
Yep.
Yeah.
I made that entire thing.
God false. Damn it.
Yeah. False. I was gonna say the thing that threw it off for me was the Buddhism and the bestiality.
God damn it.
The whole thing was bestiality.
Yeah. I'm dead last right now. Right. Sorry, Brett Gonzalez. So here's my next one. Masked Florida man waiting in driveway points gun at Florida woman, smashes her cake.
Oh, that sounds so true.
Say it again.
What is it?
Masked Florida man waiting in driveway points gun at Florida woman, smashes her cake.
So she's holding a cake and then he points a gun at her, then smashes her cake.
Would you like me to read more?
Yeah. No, I'm here. Yeah. Is there more? Okay. Yeah.
Florida woman arrived home Tuesday to an armed masked man pointing a gun at her. The woman, who asked not to be identified, said he was standing in her driveway as she pulled in. I had a cake in one hand and I had groceries in the other hand. There was a strange person standing there dressed in all black, his face covered up, pointing a gun at me. blah, blah, blah. He said that he wanted cash. I said, I don't have any money. He just took his hand on the cake box and went wham and smashed it.
And this is the problem. And this is the problem. The problem is Dave's a writer.
Yeah.
And this is what's hard for us. I'm going to say true.
My argument is he made it so, and it's like smashed a cake.
I don't know.
It's like,
I'm just going to stick with true. So I'm going true. I'm locking in at true.
Blah, blah, blah is what's bothering me. He said, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to fucking say false just to be the opposite of Brad.
It is true.
Oh, fuck. Damn it.
So Brent is ahead. Or, I mean, Brad is ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
All right. All right. So a banana farmer in China bought a couple of good looking pups from a Vietnamese man. He played with them, petted them, groomed them every day. The puppies grew fast and they grew big and they had voracious appetites, leading them to chase and eat chickens. 2 years later, the farmer had an opportunity to visit a wildlife protection exhibition when he saw the bear exhibit. He realized what kind of animals his dogs really were.
Oh, true. He had bears.
I think he had tanukis. I'm saying true.
Brad definitely didn't write that. I just don't feel like that's something you wrote, but it could be some onion bullshit. I say true.
True. Yeah, they were true.
All right. I was picturing at least I got one fucking point. I'm on the board.
All right. All right. It's my turn. All right. This one. Chinese surgeons partially remove man's penis in an error after a paperwork mix-up. That is the title. So at a plastic surgery center in Beijing, doctors mistakenly performed a penectomy on 32-year-old Shen Zhao. Doctors realized they had made a mistake when no cancerous malignancy was found. Doctors were fortunately able to reverse the procedure, and the patient is expected to regain full use of his penis. According to sources, Shen Zhao is not talking to press, but is seeking reimbursement.
Why are all these penis articles? What is
false.
This?
Who's choking penises over there? I don't.
Yeah, I'm gonna say false too.
That is false. I made that up.
It was the
Shen Zhao and the Shen Zhao.
Shen Zhao's a real name. I looked up Chinese names and formulated a name. Yeah, is that what threw it off for you with Shen Zhao?
It was the penectomy.
Penectomy is a real thing.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's the removal of a penis.
That was the thing that I called bullshit on.
Yeah, that's the actual term for a penis removal surgery. Yeah.
So here is my third and final. Florida man finds meth in used copy of Grand Theft Auto 5. While rifling through the booklet of a used version of Grand Theft Auto 5 he just purchased from GameStop, 28-year-old Kevin McAllister found a baggie containing 6 grams of meth. McAllister posted on Facebook Sunday saying he found a bag of meth in the case of a used game bought at the GameStop in Tallahassee, Florida. Police were notified and given the drug, but no suspects have been identified.
I say true.
True.
Some Florida shit right there.
False.
Really?
Wow, you made that up.
Did you make it up or you just found like the onion or something?
I changed it.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Some of the details are false, and it's actually worse because it wasn't a 28-year-old man. It was an 11-year-old kid.
Oh, wow.
And his mom saw him walking around with a baggie full of meth.
So there was a real story.
It was a real story.
Oh, that makes it rough.
But
it was a trick one.
It was a trick one.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really a fucking Florida thing.
I threw in a trick.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay, is this the last one?
What's the score? Where's our score?
Brad 4, me 2, you 3.
Damn it.
So, all right. Nigel Richards of New Zealand entered the French League Scrabble tournament in Belgium. He took first place, but he doesn't speak a word of French.
I'm calling true. I don't even want to hear the rest of it. I say true.
I'm going to say false.
You're going to say false? Yes. True and false? That is true.
Damn it.
My powers of deduction.
Okay.
My deduction's so powerful.
So the problem is...
He won't know what the words mean. He wouldn't be able to carry out a conversation in French or anything, but he memorized the French dictionary.
So here's the problem we're facing. Brad and Brent each have four. Mm-hmm. I have two.
Mm-hmm. So Brent's, we can get a tie.
Well, Brent's the only one left to go, so he cannot get a point.
So I can win.
Last round.
That doesn't matter.
So what I would propose,
board shorts.
It's either I win or a tie.
Well, I would propose
kiss chicken. Whoever turns away first.
That it's based on my response.
Fuck. What are you saying? No good.
Based off of your response of what my question or my story?
Right.
So what?
So if he fools me, he
gets the point. Okay.
And if he doesn't, you win.
Okay. Well, then I don't even matter.
You never did. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
All right. That's
okay,
fine.
Okay. However, it
that's
works.
Fine.
Or just flip it.
Okay. That's no, fine. How about? Okay. No, that's a good point.
I have to get it right too.
You vote. Right too. And whatever your vote is, your vote, but then I vote. And my vote becomes Brent's vote.
So it could still be 5-5. It still could be.
It still could be a tie.
It still could be a tie. Okay. Right. All right. Let's go.
It still could be a tie, right, but it might not be. So my vote counts for
if
your
if he gets
point.
It right, you get a point.
Right.
And that means I have to get it right. Yeah, it does.
It does, depending
you get
on the reaction.
You wouldn't get a point.
Because you would never get
gonna
a
lose
point
anyway.
In this round.
He's going to lose anyway.
I'm going to lose anyway.
But Brad could get a point regardless of what you
right.
do.
Yeah. So yes. I could either win.
It could still be a tie.
It could still be a tie.
I could win.
So the best we got.
But now, though.
It anything.
Yeah, it did.
The best we got.
Now you can win, though. Because before you couldn't win.
Based on your skills in fooling.
I'll go with that. All right. So I saved Florida for last. Obviously.
Okay. You know. Jesus.
Throw it back. You're Jesus. Shut your mouth.
I am Jesus.
All right. I was voting for kiss chicken. That's where we try to kiss each other. And then if we turn, whoever turns away first loses.
Hmm. Like for a tiebreaker?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Or that was, I was pulling out the board shorts. Standard rules, traditional rules. All right. Florida woman calls cops in fear of exploding semen-filled thermos. That's the headline. She's got semen in a thermos.
Okay.
How you guys feeling with, why would a thermos explode with semen in it?
More.
Right? That's what you asked.
More.
Why would it not?
I don't know. So
I've seen one.
Yeah. In a thermos.
Yeah.
You got to keep it cold. Huh? Florida woman is trying to get pregnant via artificial insemination. She called the police because she feared that the thermos that she was using to store the sperm with dry ice might explode. Felicia Nevins sought the county sheriff office. You guys always laugh at my names over here. I don't know what you want. Office to help after she forgot to remove the O-ring from the container. So apparently the pressure is going to build up and now it's going to be a semen bomb because the dry ice is going to come out. So next thing she knew, it was all over social media because a sheriff posted it on Facebook.
True.
Dum, 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 dum.
See,
dum,
I got to go. I got to go false.
It's true.
Fuck.
You nerd Dietrich. You got yourself.
Why would you call the police? That was what I was hanging my hat on. Why would you call the police because you thought your sperm thermos was going to explode?
This is Florida we're talking about.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You totally forgot.
I forgot the Florida.
You forgot.
Part.
Yeah. You left that out. It makes complete sense.
Why would you?
If you just add Florida to that, it makes complete sense.
We're going to start a mini podcast called Florida Factor.
Yeah.
This week, I mean, Florida Factor.
My spermis has come close to exploding a couple of times, but I've never called the authorities.
I've exploded into a thermos.
I just ride the waves.
We'll save it for later. I don't want to lose all that protein. You know,
yeah, there are all people who drink the.
Put it back in the shake.
Yeah, people who drink that.
So like Brad it. And therefore Yanuri Dietrich are our winners.
So you got a winner. Yep.
And Matt,
Yanuri, you were already a winner.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Stephen Langston. I tried. It was close.
Yeah. I tried.
I think I have probably the best record at news or bullshit.
You do. Yeah. I'm horrible at it. I always fucking lose.
I don't remember yesterday.
That's right.
All right.
All right.
Well, wrap it. That's it. All right. Don't be a retard.
Oh, you're gonna pay for what you did to me. For every second I spend in this hellhole, I'll see you spend a year in living hell. Oh, you fucks are gonna beg me to let you die.
I'm from a little town riddled with drug dealers. A few unsolved murders, two serial killers. Accidental deaths are as common as ramen for dinner. Pine Bush 3 miles west, follow me there, sinners. Cows cut up, showing their ribs and guts. Some saying it's aliens, fucking kids on dust. The smell of crack, sky goes black, the scene switches. Camera pans are men squeezing jars and fridges. God throwing lightning at me, I'm lobbying life. Pass through me, boy.
once I shit out the body of Christ. Skeet up, bitch, with a kamikaze on ice. Me, I puff to my fitted, dripping and bomb my nights. Then follow the dead, no dollars instead. Bottles of red that hollow the head. See through goggles of death. Don't flinch, not seeing my 50s and 60s. Fuck like doggy, death is a dick tease.
No, no, not yet. I want you cocksuckers to suffer. No, I'll fix your fucking asses, alright? Maybe a long needle in your ear, girl. I'll just listen to you fuck screaming. What sweet music that'll be. Doctors and nurses, so you pricks don't die way too quick. You know the best part? The best part is you dick-smoking faggots will have your eyelids cut off. So you have to watch me do it to you. Yeah. So see me bring that cigar closer and closer to your wide-open eyeball.
I wake at night with the chill screaming, my ears ringing. Flick on the light, think I'm still dreaming and here singing. This can't be right, I see real demons through me blinking. This can't be life, more like pill fiending than clear thinking. I'm pacing Gotham like Bruce Wayne, the place where my crew train. To shovel old dope into new veins, and few brains can recycle the true pain. Go through Kane, acting like psychos the new sane. I pity the fool that can't rap on this level. In this city of rules where the separatist rebels raise these kids feral, fetish for grip metal, heard but rarely seen like the exorcist devil. Deep inside the corners of my mind, the coroner bots time. Keep the voyeur and the warrior's guidelines. The rock star throw cock hard, high with the fly dimes. The real guy can sit by and watch from the sidelines.